Before we get into our deep dive, just want to remind everybody about our BFFs at Acre Gold. Acre Gold is the unique gold company from which you can get physical, tangible, holdable, strokeable, caressable gold bars in your grubby little hands on a layaway subscription basis. And it makes it so handy.
You can stroke it. Just stroke it, you guys. You can stroke it. It's strokeable gold. Hashtag strokeable gold.
And it's awesome because not only is it strokeable and holdable, but it's also layawayable, which means that you don't have to fork over like a whole bunch of cash up front to buy the current day's value of gold. You can just pay as you go. And then as you earn it, Acre Gold happily sends you the bars that you've earned. And you just keep up the monthly subscription, either on a $50, $100, or $250 a month basis. Very, very handy, super easy. Their website is a breeze to get through and understand. Highly recommend that you check them out. It's getacregold.com/chicks. Getacregold.com/chicks. She has blocked us. She blocked us on Twitter forever ago. What in the world?
Yeah, I like the nickname Maverick, for the record. I think that suits you.
One of the common denominators in those messages was an ask for me to run for office, which is kind of funny because I was leaving the corrupt world of media and they wanted me to go into the even more corrupt world of politics. I thought, okay, they must think I'm crazy.
Welcome to another deep dive edition of the Chicks on the Right show. And man, do we ever have a treat for everybody today. We have Carrie Lake, who is, of course, running for governor in the great state of Arizona. Carrie Lake, thank you so much for being with us.
I'm so excited. I feel like I know you too. So it's great to be sitting here with you.
We're delighted to have you. Yeah.
Absolutely delighted. And so lots and lots of questions. But right out of the gate, we always like to get to know people a little bit that we have on our show. And we thought a really just an interesting part of, or an interesting story about you that I don't actually know. I don't know if Daisy knows, is what has taken you on this journey. And it's not a word that we're a huge fan of, journey, but what has taken you on this journey from media star? I mean, you've been a broadcaster, a journalist for years. What took you from that career into the world of politics?
It's such an unlikely, crazy story, to be honest. I mean, I never ever envisioned myself running for office. My goodness, are you kidding? I was blessed to have a 27-year career as an honest journalist covering Arizona, and my integrity as a journalist allowed me to move up the career ladder. And I was the number one news anchor in Arizona for 22 years at the Fox affiliate. And just blessed beyond belief to be able to have that career and talk to the people of Arizona every day, get to know the issues that we face as a state in such a beautiful state. I grew up in Iowa, the youngest of nine kids, and had to work hard for everything I had. And so I worked hard to work and make it in this career. And then during COVID, I kind of woke up and went, wow, it's all propaganda. There's no interest in helping people and putting out information that will bring us together, that will tell us about early treatments. And then the election happened. And I just felt like it was getting harder and harder to maintain that honesty that I had with the people of Arizona. So I walked away from my career, from a huge paycheck. I'd been doing really well, number one anchor for 22 years in one of the biggest TV markets. You have a nice paycheck at that point. But I just stepped away from it all. And I asked God to lead me. I said, I know I can't do this anymore. It's becoming immoral. And I'm putting my life in your hands. And really, for the first time in my life, I did that. Even though I'm a woman of faith, I always had a little bit of control in my life. Like, if I work hard, I can make it happen. And I truly just said, God, I'm yours and do with me what you will. And I put a video out to the people of Arizona, letting them know why I was leaving. I didn't want them to think I was just, you know, resigning to pursue other opportunities. And I got thousands upon thousands of messages. And one of the common denominators in those messages was an ask for me to run for office, which is kind of funny because I was leaving the corrupt world of media and they wanted me to go into the even more corrupt world of politics. I thought, okay, they must think I'm crazy. And at first I thought, oh, hell no, I'm never going to do that, because we know how ugly it is and how terrible it is. Mm-hmm. But then I realized the request for people in Arizona asking me to run for office, I thought it was God's way of kind of tapping me on the shoulder and saying, this is what I opened you up for. And I think it was, I really do, because from day one, I didn't even know how to run for office. I called the Arizona GOP and I said, how do you run for office? It's not something that everyday citizens do, but it's something that everyday citizens should do. Because if you remember, our founding fathers envisioned the real people stepping forward to represent their fellow citizens, not the career politicians. They didn't even know what career politicians were. They probably would have put something in the Constitution banning it.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Yeah.
So we jumped into the race. First time in that I can remember covering Arizona where we've just had a real person, a citizen politician running for office for the governor's office. And we, from day one, have been just soaring. It's been amazing. We've got a movement. The people are so excited. It only took us 3 weeks to get enough signatures to be on the ballot. Typically, that takes 9 months. We did it in 3 weeks. We didn't pay for a single signature. And we have a real movement, over 30,000 small donors, everyday people putting $20 in, $50, $150, because they know that I am going to be a governor of the people. My special interest group is the people of Arizona. And we've not had a governor who's truly been on a mission to help Arizonans for a long time.
That's awesome. So we have a lot of people that follow us that didn't start out as conservative. And then they listen to us, they watch us, and they convert. You know, we're kind of proud of that because they'll, they get to know us and then they're like, these chicks don't suck, you know? And so and they'll hear what we have to say and they're like, okay, this makes a lot of sense. Conservatism.
Common sense.
This, exactly. Common sense makes sense. So we know, I mean, at least from what I've read, you didn't start out as a conservative, kind of like Ronald Reagan. Ronald Reagan didn't become a Republican until he was, 51 years old.
Oh, I didn't know that. 51?
51. And I read an article about you that that actually compared you to Reagan, of all people, who is one of my favorites. And there are a lot of things about you, like your Midwest upbringing and your media background and how you moved out west. And, you know, you had your pivotal moment, you know, how you were like, you know, you felt called and things like that. So I thought it was interesting, the comparison, but how you started out and you weren't a conservative to start. So what was it that, was it just like how everything has been so crazy in our country? Is that what brought you to conservatism?
Actually, Ronald Reagan was really a childhood hero of mine. I grew up an hour away from him, obviously a few decades apart. And he was the president of my formative years. He was a president from when I was 10 until I was 18. And, there's a lot of false information out about me, but I have been a registered Republican almost my entire life. I registered as a Republican because of Ronald Reagan at the age of 18 for my very first election that I got to vote in. And I've been a registered Republican almost my entire life, except for 4 years when I registered as a Democrat and 2 years when I registered as an independent. And I'm currently a registered Republican, obviously. But during that time between Ronald Reagan and Donald J. Trump, we watched as our political leaders, the Democrats and the Republicans, kind of morphed into one big swampy uniparty yuck.
Right.
And they're attacking me for voting Democrat at a point. And I my response is, what were our choices? I had two babies, one on either hip. My kids are about a year and a half apart. I'm watching the Iraq war rage on, which should have never been started. It was started on false pretenses and we were lied to. And I'm looking at these two candidates that were given and I'm saying, which one will end this war, this endless war? And I covered John McCain as a journalist here in Arizona. And I knew for certain it wasn't going to be him. And so I took a chance on a new guy and it didn't work out. It didn't work out well. We were excited about first Black president. We thought that we'd see this country come together. And I do believe this country can come together, by the way, but it didn't work out. So it's funny though, they have no dirt on me. So they try to manufacture all this stuff that's completely bonkers. And the funniest thing is my opponent, at a moment in our history, guys, when we're watching people wake up by the millions. People are like, oh my gosh, they're waking up to the lies of the Democrat Party. We've got this ridiculous nursing home patient in the White House. And people are waking up to the madness. And I've got my opponent, who's married to a 95-year-old billionaire with a blank check running ads, attacking Democrats for waking up. Mm-hmm. It's the most crazy thing ever. I want to tell people, if you've woken up, come on over. I want your vote. Welcome to the Republican Party. Welcome to the America First Party. We want your vote. You don't have to stop at the Independent Party. Just come right over to the Republican Party. We're going to grow it into the biggest pro-America, America First Republican Party ever.
I love that you, just in that few minutes, you answered so many of my questions already, because one of the things...
Let's just have coffee and we'll just chat.
Exactly. I'm thinking the same thing, Mark. I'm thinking the same exact thing. Uh-huh.
Well, I mean, the Arizona primary was what, like 2 weeks away? It's on August 2nd. And you mentioned your primary. Is that wrong?
We have election season out here. We vote for 27 days.
Oh,
isn't
my
that crazy?
Gosh.
Holy cow.
This is why it's so corrupt. As a matter of fact, I'm not on the early voting or mail-in voting list. And I double-checked four times to make sure I wasn't on it. Obviously, I want to show up at the polls and vote. And look what arrived in my mailbox. A mail-in ballot. We have screwed up elections out here, and we're going to make sure we sort it out and figure it out and fix it when I am a governor. So, I got a mail-in ballot. Unfortunately, we vote for 27 days in Arizona.
Oh my God.
It allows allows for a lot of loopholes for cheating.
For sure. Well, I was going to ask, so the official date is August 2nd for in-person voting. And I know, so your primary opponent, Karen Taylor, is it Robson or Robeson? I don't even know how to say it.
Robeson.
Robeson. Okay. So
we should call her, you know, actually, that's a good, we should call her Robson, because she's been robbing people. To be honest, her fundraising scheme has been robbing senior citizens. I just uncovered this last week, robbing senior citizens out of their hard-earned money. And, you know, these senior citizens are on Social Security, and she's robbing them out of campaign donations, tricking them. They don't even realize they're donating to her. They think they're making donations to help build the wall in Texas or help President Trump. You know, you click on the link and next thing you know, you're donating to her in a recurring monthly donation. And she's had more refund requests than any other campaign that we've ever heard of in politics. 1,200 people demanding refunds because they've gotten caught up in this unethical fundraising scheme that she's pulling.
Wow.
So Robson might be the perfect way to describe her.
Wow. Okay. Well, so I know that in just recent weeks, in the last several days, she has managed to nab some, you know, some heavy hitting endorsements. Doug Ducey, the current governor, Mike Pence as another. So what do you want people who are looking at the two of you, what do you want them to know would be different about how you would govern?
Well, if people like the way our current governor is handling the border, which is to sit by and watch it be wide open, allow fentanyl to pour in, allow the cartels to have control, then they might like her. She's got a border plan, which is similar to our current governor, Doug Ducey's border plan, which is do nothing and allow the cartels to walk all over you. And we're not going to do that anymore. We're America first. We're Arizona first. And so we're at a crossroads right now, guys, in Arizona. And most people don't understand what the political history of Arizona is. But for the last 40 years or so, 30 or 40 years, we have been watching as the McCain mafia, the McCain machine, runs the show in Arizona. And we, the people, don't have a say. She represents that Rhino McCain machine where the people don't matter. And I represent America first. Somebody in the media said, if you want four more years of Trump, you'll vote for Carrie Lake. If you want four more years of Ducey, you'll vote for Karen Robson. And frankly, I think they're right. You know, Doug Ducey is not a popular governor. He's the third least popular governor. The only governors less popular than him are the governor of Oregon and Hawaii.
Wow.
And those are two states that have just been ravaged by outrageous Democrat policy.
Yeah.
He's the least popular governor. Many people have said his endorsement is the kiss of death.
Yeah.
He shut our businesses down and he shut our economy down twice in Arizona. He shut our schools down and he masked our children. And people will not forgive him for that.
I live in Texas, and it's like those people who are making those rules, you know, that like people like Ducey, they don't have to deal with their policies. This is the thing. I mean, it's like 2 million illegals are going to come across the border. What is it this year? It's utter insanity, Carrie. So I mean,
his endorsement. He endorsed her. He's just worried because he knows I'm going to go in there, and we're going to do all the things he should have done, mm-hmm. and he's going to look bad, and we're going to find out who is behind the corruption in our elections, and maybe he's nervous about that. But he said, she's got a great plan on the border, and I wanted to pull my hair out. I thought, if it's such a great plan, then why don't you do it right now? You're the governor. Her plan was written by the same consultants that he used, the high-priced McCain consultants. It's just six talking points, and it's a whole lot of nothing. My plan has been written by, and we worked tirelessly with the very best minds in border security and in the Constitution. Our border plan is called Defend Arizona, and it is the boldest, most aggressive border plan in this country's history. And that's what it's going to take, because what it is basically, in basic terms, is we're using the Constitution to save our country. The Article 4, Section 4 guarantee clause of the Constitution requires that the federal government protect us from invasion and protect our borders. And they're failing to do that. It's a dereliction of duty.
Absolutely.
And so our plan just goes right to the remedy. It's written in the Constitution. Thank God for our forefounders, because they were brilliant. Article 1, Section 10 has a remedy, which is when we are being invaded and in imminent danger, the states can step forward and take control of their borders. And we're going to do that on day one when I issue a declaration of invasion and we put boots on the ground at that border and we push this cartel out of our state.
Mm-hmm. God, precisely. Really, really good. Doesn't it sound good? Yeah. I mean, like I said, I'm in Texas and I'm tired of it. I'm just tired of it because I worry for my kid, you know?
It's not brain surgery. Mm-hmm. It's just, it's right there in the Constitution. And of course the left will fight and Joe Biden will thrash around and he may try to stop us and we will take this right up to the Supreme Court and we're going to win because it's in black and white.
Yeah.
There's nothing more basic than what it says in the Constitution.
You know, we have to take a break really quick and just mention Carrie Lake's flawless skin.
Just how gorgeous she is in her skin and how she has what something that I've noticed is she doesn't have any liver spots.
And she lives in Arizona. Like, how do you do that? You know what I mean?
I don't know. You know, I'm assuming that she probably uses GenuCell. I mean, she has to.
And she doesn't have to tell us. She doesn't have to tell us. But that's the assumption I'm going with, too, because GenuCell is what makes skincare so easy, especially when you use their most popular package. Their most popular package is curated with all of the best of their most awesome, awesome stuff. And it's 65% off right now. And then on top of the 65%, if you go to GenuCell.com/chicks and use code chicks, you're going to get the dark spot corrector for free and 20% more off. Like, it's just so much crazy discount. I can't even.
And you know what you get with that? No liver spots. That's what you get. That's what you get. And then you start looking like Carrie Lake.
Man, I'm still working. I'm still working on looking like that. I don't think I have a prayer. She is genetically blessed.
Hashtag genetically blessed.
If you're not genetically blessed and you need a little bit of help, you should try GenuCell.com/chicks.
Do it.
So Carrie, I have four family members in Tucson, my parents, my sister and brother-in-law who are there, and they are undecided right now between you and your opponent. So, and you know, one of the questions that my dad had for me to ask you, you've already answered, which is how does she explain her previous votes for Democrats? And I think you did a perfectly fine job answering why that vote was important to you and what you where your mind was at the time. But what are the other things that they should know about you that perhaps the media, for example, has gotten wrong? Because I know they're digging all the dirt. They're like trying to pick fights with you and like drag queens and stuff. What do you want to set the record straight about?
Well, I first want to say, and I talk to President Trump all the time. I tell him, I go, wow, I'm getting the Trump treatment. I mean, it's just one attack piece after the next. I am public enemy number one for the deep state, the swamp, however you want to put it. I'm an existential threat to them. Arizona is such a big, important state for them to remain in control, and especially being a border state where they run drugs and things like that. So they're really worried about us, and the press is writing one hit piece after the next. And most of them are full of lies. They don't want to write about our policy. We have the best policy in the country. I mean, our homeless plan is great. Our education plan is phenomenal. Our water plan is terrific. And it's all plans that Democrats, independents, and Republicans can get behind. So they don't want to write about that because they don't want to make us any more popular than we already are. We're up ahead by double digits. My opponent, who is married to a billionaire, will have poured $26 million of her husband's money in by election day to try to stop us. So she's putting all these deceptive ads out, unfortunately, and she's trying to detract from my history, which is a history of someone who loves this country and loves Arizona. But she's trying to detract from what she's really been up to. She's accusing me of making a $300 donation 15 years ago to a Democrat, when the fact of the matter is, in just the last couple of years, she's made thousands of dollars in donations to the most radical socialist liberals in Arizona, including a guy we call the AOC of Arizona, Ruben Gallego. She's his top donor. And so she's deflecting. When she was appointed to the Arizona Board of Regents, which is the governing board for Arizona's public universities, she voted to raise tuition and fees 70 plus times. That's hard on the people of Arizona. Mm-hmm. She voted to spend taxpayer money to hire lobbyists to go down to our state capitol and fight one of the most groundbreaking pieces of pro-life legislation we've ever seen in this state. She voted to expand gun control rules and laws on our campuses and take away Second Amendment rights of faculty and adult students. And she actually had the gall during BLM as our country was burning and people were attacking this great nation and tearing down statues to say, this is a quote, "We've got a country that none of us are all that proud of. We've got a history that none of us are all that proud of." She has been part of the Board of Regents when they turned Arizona State, U of A, and NAU into woke universities. And so she's trying to hide from her very liberal record and deflect and accuse me of everything she's done. And she has a voting record. I don't. I was a private citizen. I don't have a voting record. She does, and it's dismal. And it's right there on our website, carrielake.com. We laid it all out and we put it on our website so people can see who she really is. I don't have a billionaire husband to allow me to run ads ad nauseum across the airwaves like she does. But I guarantee you this to your father and your relatives. We will have an open border with her. She's an open borders globalist, and it will be a continuation of the border policy we have. And she will never, ever restore integrity to our elections because she doesn't even think our elections were corrupt.
Well, that was a pretty good explanation.
Sorry, you triggered me. You just triggered me.
Yeah, there you go. That's a good one. Okay, so this is a total fluff question because we do this when we have people on that are running for office and that are conservatives. And I think that, you know, like Mock said, a lot of stuff has been written about you that is obviously untrue. But I want to know, like, you personally, like, what do you like to do? Like, what are some of the things that you enjoy that you like to do that are some of your hobbies that people don't know about you, Carrie?
My husband's sitting right here and he's chuckling because, you know, we used to have a lot of fun. I lived a carefree life. I raised my children. They're 17 and 19 now.
Goodness.
I came from a large family in Iowa, the youngest of nine, eight girls and one boy. And I've worked hard my whole life. I've always had to work. If we wanted toothpaste and shampoo, we had to work for it. Yeah. Babysitting when I was seven, which is probably too young. And so I've worked really hard. I've got a good work ethic.
When you had free time, what did you like to do in your free time?
Every once in a while, I'll tell the campaign, hey, I'd like to have a day off. I try to take Sundays off. And it's hard to find that level of relaxation to do something fun because I feel that we are in the middle of a battle.
Right.
It's like, can you imagine being in the middle of a war and you are in the middle of a battle and you say, okay, guys, let's all just take a day off and we'll go to the mall. We're in the middle of a fight here. Right. And I'm having a hard time just taking time off to enjoy.
Right.
I used to golf. I took up golf during COVID, and I was actually getting a little bit good at it to the point where I got rid of my thrift store golf clubs and actually bought some decent clubs. And then I jumped into the governor's race, and I've only used them twice. I haven't had a chance.
Well, hold on to them. You never know. You may get day off here sometime soon. So that's really good.
And my kids are teenagers, 17 and 19. So we used to do a lot as family together, but now they kind of want to do their own thing.
Yeah, we can totally relate. We both have teenagers. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Somebody asked, what's it like having your mom run for office?
Yeah.
She's gone all the time. And my son's like, yeah, it's great. She's not home. She's not nagging
right.
me.
ask him again in a couple years and he'll think
right.
differently.
Well, and Carrie, you mentioned being in the fight. And I know that's one of the things that people who love you really love you because of your fight. And that is the same thing that's the same quality that they love so much about President Trump too, is that he was not afraid. He was not going to be a doormat to anyone. He was not going to pull any punches. He said all the things, which leads me to have to ask, you got to fill us in on this Meghan McCain fight. Because she has blocked us. She blocked us on Twitter forever ago.
Yeah.
What in the world?
Yeah, I like the nickname Maverick. For the record, I think that suits you.
It was so funny because actually I was down in Tucson. We were at a place called the Maverick. And if you're from Tucson, it's been around for, I think they said 50 or 60 years. It's a really cool live music, I want to say bar, but it's kind of, I mean, it's a place where they hold huge events, 500 plus people. And we were there, packed crowd, standing room only, and you know, talking about saving Arizona and saving America. And something triggered her and she called me the B word and said, if you're going to steal my father's nickname. And I'm like, I get off the stage. We had a great rally. We talked about our promises to Arizona, the 10 big things we want to do. And I find out that she's been calling me the B word and attacking me. And I'm like, what the heck triggered her? Well, she got it wrong. She thought that because the location where we were was called the Maverick,
oh my God,
that I was stealing her father's nickname. She soon deleted the tweet, but she continued to go after me for days, calling me a hag and all sorts of terrible names. And it's sad because I think they're realizing they're becoming irrelevant and that the people aren't interested in and where they are. I mean, remember, the McCains are the ones who turned on Republicans.
She campaigned
on president.
She campaigned for Joe Biden.
Joe Biden.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, you know, no love lost. I will say this, Megan, if you're watching, when I am governor, we are going to have America First, Arizona First policies that are going to be so awesome for this state that even you will be living a life that's better and things will be better for you as well.
Look at you unifying.
Look at
you.
That. I know. I know. It's way better than what we would have done.
I do pray for her. I hope that she finds some peace within.
Yeah.
Thank you, Carrie. That, because I really wanted to know the dirt on that story. I'd read the articles and I was just like, how did she get this so wrong? Because I saw that you were at a location called the Maverick. And I thought, oh man, that was a really sad misunderstanding.
Kind of weird. The whole thing was kind of weird. Yeah. But I think that it actually, listen, nobody owns that nickname. I think it's still a cool nickname. I think that actually it suits you.
I'll stick with Ultra Mega. How's that?
That's cool. Dare I say it's badass. It's completely badass. I love it.
Yeah.
Carrie, thank you so much. We want to be, I know you've got a lot to get to. And so we want to be respectful of your time. I hope that I run into you when I'm in Tucson in late August. So maybe I'll reach out to your folks and see where you are.
We're doing our meet and greet there too next spring. So hopefully maybe we'll be able
that's
to.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So maybe we can like connect with your people and who knows, maybe we can visit you then. So that would be lovely. We can
that
meet you in person
great.
Sometime. Yeah.
My final message to your listeners, and they sound like a fun group, is if you are in Arizona, make sure you fill that ballot out. If you've got the ballot sitting on your kitchen counter or wherever the ballot is, make sure
That's
you fill
right.
the ballot out.
Right.
That's exactly right. Carrie, thank you so much. Thank you. We appreciate your time.
Thanks, ladies. We'll see you later.
All right. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Man, it was so good to talk to governor contender, gubernatorial candidate, if you will, Carrie Lake. She's such a rock star, man. She just says the things. I wonder if she does so well, just like in journalism, just talking in general, if she's so good at it because she gets really good sleep with MyPillow products. I'm guessing she does.
I'm pretty sure that she's probably a Mike Lindell and a MyPillow fan. I'm sure that like her entire house is just decked out with all MyPillow things. And at the end of the day, she leisurely gets into a MyPillow robe and puts on like MyPillow slippers and everything is MyPillow. I think that everything in her house like is I'm sure it is.
I bet you're right. I bet you're absolutely right. And there's no question that she probably sleeps on their amazing Percal Dream Sheets. And it's Percal because that is what the people at MyPillow told me. They said it's like Cal, like calorie. And I don't know what Percal is exactly, but man, does it ever feel good to sleep on?
She's not letting this go, you guys. It's Percal.
It's Percal. And the Dream Sheets are huge. There's huge, huge, huge savings right now. So for example, this is their sale of the year on their bed sheets. Like a queen size set normally is $89.98. Right now, it's $39.98 when you use code CHICKS at MyPillow.com/CHICKS. And they also have tons of buy one, get one sales on their pillows, on their towels, which is another one of my favorite products of theirs, and so much more. MyPillow.com/.
This week on the Federalist Radio Hour.
The media has sort of decided that this debate is over, which is fascinating. And I want to ask Katie about some of the things people might not know in the industry, because it is very much presented by the medical establishment, by the media establishment, even by the political establishment, I would say, as a completed argument.
I'm Emily Jashinsky of The Federalist. Subscribe to The Federalist on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts.